Heyo, this is the intro's intro. I felt that this was necessary in hindsight to add this in. Listen, I want to say that before I started this episode, my boyfriend reunited, was asleep in bed, and I put on for myself while I snuggled up to his sleeping body and feeling the touch, a song that I dedicated to us post-breakup. It's called No Hard Feelings. And I won't say the artist because I don't want to fuck up any copyright shit. I don't think it will, but God forbid. I saw them live last summer with him. This was the last song they played. No Hard Feelings. And it means a lot to me. And I cried. I teared up. These were not cries of sadness or cries of anguish. These were cries of joy. Because, well, before this song brought me wonderful and also painful memories. And now symbols to me that I always maintained the truth of the song's message of no hard feelings. And I'm so happy we're back together. And I cried. I wept silently. And that being said, having done that is a prime example of the I am what this episode is about. Stay tuned. Thanks, guys. Thanks for hearing me out again. Here we go. I appreciate you all. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am back. It's been a while, as I'll explain later. This is Chevy Kuhn on Where Is My Mind, formerly known as 3AM Thoughts. That was a long time ago. I can't change my name anymore. But this is Chevy, also known as Brian, your host here. It's been a while, guys, and I've been through a lot, okay? Mostly relationship stuff, but also work, also family. I've been seeing my children as often as possible, and a lot of brain cramps. And a lot of too much perfectionism, once again. Lower those expectations, right? But not for yourself in life. What kind of person are you emotionally? And I'm not talking about the Myers-Briggs personality types shit. I'm talking about how sensitive are you or how insensitive are you? Mostly about me being a male and being a very sensitive person. This is Coley. HSP, or a highly sensitive person, and I'm a male, so I'm discussing mostly the male type by using examples of myself so that maybe you can understand. And me being a male who's also on the more feminine side of the masculine feminine energy scale, maybe more you can identify to me because I kind of go along with both of them. I'm a cis male, I'm not gender fluid, but I tend to share traits of here and there, you know. Anyway, thank you for God. If you were listening to this, thank you for your patience. If you actually are tuning in back in again, your patience is admonished. I admire you for this. Thank you for listening at all. And these words are not professional. They are just, I mean, who could speak professionally about an HSP? But they are not professional, but they are just my opinions and my insight. Okay, I found some of these terms here and there throughout the past year, so I've been researching this, but this is something that you need to figure out on your own if you are this person, this type of person, and there are certain key factors that will either qualify or disqualify you in most opinions. So without further ado, how sensitive are you? Are you Mary Poppins, or are you like fucking that dumbass Thanos thing from those Marvel movies? I don't know. I don't watch damn things. Apparently, he's very insensitive. So, bad examples. Do you care a lot, way too much, or none at all? Are you an HSP? Check it out on Where's My Mind. Let me know what you think. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whatever it is for you at your part of the world, at what time of day you're listening to this, whether you're exercising or working or doing the dishes. This is a podcast known as Where Is My Mind, hosted by yours truly, Chevy, also known as Brian Barter, that being myself. This is a podcast about those things we think about in the middle of the night, which I tend to record it on. It is 11:55 p.m. on September 19th. It has been a long time, far too long, since I've recorded and published an actual good material at all. I will admit that I have been not myself lately, but for many, mostly good reasons. Many things have come up in the way. Work's come up in the way. Also, the reunion, I'm not sure if everybody wants to hear this, but especially after some of the serious issues I've gone through, I have reconnected and gotten back together with my ex, Matthew. There are some people I know that are not going to be pleased to hear this. Some people on both of our sides, I think. There were some opinions floating around that I think were not others to make. I said what I said, but I do believe, at least with the exception of in the flames of passion and fury, that I said no harsh words about him, truly harsh, that is. I tried to give him the most respect I could for what he'd given me. So it's been a long time coming, and this motherfucker, after some serious deliberation, decided to move once again halfway across the country of the United States of America to visit me again. And here's where we're at. We're doing good. We're a week and 2 days in. Almost three. And we're doing great. All the complaints have been mine because, trust me, I've had a few of them and a half. I was treated in a way that was unfavorable. And I didn't do the best myself. However, though, I am easily forgiving, and I've been very happy. I can admit I've been ecstatic. One of the main primary reasons that I had not been releasing many episodes for a while is because I had been in a funk that I got into due to loneliness, depression, and honestly, the real honest-to-God kicker of it all is neither... It's not that it's... Well, these are the results of this, but it is the lack of physical intimacy, physical touch. Desired physical touch by one that I love and cares about me back, at least that, in this case, loves me back. The love is rekindled. I'm so much more happier. I needed a recharge before I did this. While Matthew is asleep, I could still recharge with him. I usually did it alone when I was single. I laid in my bed with my pillows flat, my right on my back, my hands folded across my lap, maybe loosened my sides, and I'd put something on YouTube or just in silence, and I'd sit there in the dark light, in the darkness or dim light, and I would practice my breathing, which is what I tried to do to get my voice under control. When I speak too fast or I mumble, well, this time, just like before, like good old times, I get to snuggle with my man. I love snuggling. I love cuddling. I'm not a straight man, and I'm not afraid to admit that even like, unlike most gay men, I do not like to snuggle. I love to snuggle. I do not like to just get right to the game here. I love snuggling. Many do not. And that snuggling really helped a lot. So the need to snuggle, the need to recharge and all this, is all a symptom. I shouldn't say a symptom, but a coping mechanism that we use for the daily anxieties, the overwhelming things in life, the stuff that we don't want to have to handle, and even just the basic work day. For that, what I like to refer to myself as, I do fully believe I am, and I know several others that are. We are 20%, they estimate, of the world's population. And that is the highly sensitive person, or HSP. Here I'm going to refer to the HSP male, the highly sensitive male person. So, in a basic nutshell, The Highly Sensitive Person was a book developed by Elaine Acker back in the 1990s. Elaine, I believe, excuse me. Now, the definition of a highly sensitive person, in a nutshell, is someone with an increased central nervous system sensitivity. An increased central nervous system sensitivity. That's a mouthful. This results and the nervous system, disregards the nervous system of physical, emotional, and socialness. Okay, so how do I describe this? As I am one, so physical, okay, that being touch. Certain things, textures, can taste or feel terrible to us. Like, for example, the idea of having a fabric like a cotton in my mouth is repulsive to me. I want to brush my teeth for like 10 years after doing that. Oh my god, it's so awful. That includes great touches though, like the touch of certain somebody's soft skin, maybe the touch of certain somebody's hair. I'm trying not to obsess about him here because I don't want to go back into obsessive love or codependency, which I believe I'm doing pretty good on so far. And I really mean that too. I think I'm doing decently. So trying to break away from that lifestyle, that habit for a long time, right? So though other things like the fur of a soft kitten, okay? And I'm not talking about tripping on MDMA here, rolling on MDMA. I'm talking about an actual regular feeling. We feel it more deeply, okay? And social, which is we can feel emotions, man. I pick up on cues. We're very intuitive. I'll talk about myself here, okay? I'll talk about an HSP as far as myself and you, dear listener. And if anybody's still listening to this podcast after my long break, I applaud you. Thank you so much for your listenership. Thank you, and I'll thank you again at the end. But I'm very intuitive. I can usually pick things up very easily. And I'll get into that more very soon. So, the highly sensitive person, in this case a male, they say that 10% of us, out of the 20% of us, 10% is male and 10% is female. The average is a good 50-50 ratio, which is ironic because, empaths and INFPs are generally regarded as more female, just like people with what I have, which is borderline personality disorder, maintained, I promise, that is mostly female. A lot of my traits that end up leaning more towards female, I dress and I sound like a male, I generally present myself as a male, but my personality quirks are mostly feminine. I say male, I meant masculine, by the way. This is the female, the feminine and masculine energies. I'm sorry, it's late. I have not been staying up that late lately. I've been getting to bed more decently, so 12:03 a.m. as it is now is a little bit later than my normal time. And I'm a bit frazzled after today because, although I just got my recharge, I had an overwhelming day. I had a lot to do today, even though it was my day off. I never quite finished everything, it seemed. There was always more to do. It just went on and on and on. It was a very good day. We did many errands. What did we do? We did laundry, so we had some chores done, housework chores, and we even went out to eat at the end of the night. We went and got some foods, and it was nummy. We drove around here and there, tried to get some bottles returned and failed because all the bottle redemption centers and my town are closing, I've closed. So, I feel things deeply, and I think very deeply. Right now, as I make this podcast, I am thinking very deeply about what I'm saying, well, at least trying to, while saying it spur of the moment, as I'm usually very good at, though not always as good as other times. And I'm going to be referring to myself as examples of an HSP male, not always as good as other times, because I am rather self-critical, which is also a common trait of the HSP, which is rare for a male to be too self-critical, I think, from what I read, at least. I only know myself, and apparently I'm quite the oddball, but we tend to be very critical of our own work, which is why probably for the past month and a half or so, I've not used the majority of the recordings I've made. I just don't think they're good enough, right? So, as I was saying, I feel things deeply. So I can remember an instance when I was as young as 10 years old. I had just recently moved back to my hometown from this crappy little town up in the mountains that I just despised living in so much from at those young ages. And I saw a missing cat poster. Now, we had just gotten some cats ourselves recently, and we had always had cats in our life. And I remember being 2 years prior, being 8 years old, and watching my dad's geriatric cat, Mo, little black feline, get put down. I'd never seen an animal get put down before. And I watched the whole damn thing. And, I cried. I didn't cry hard, but I silently wept. So when I seen this cat, this sign for this missing cat poster, with a staple gun posted up onto a telephone pole and power line pole in my own little hometown in Bath, Maine, I remember shedding tears. And it's like I've never met this cat before. I have no idea who its owners are. Just the idea of someone missing their cat that's gone. And to this day, it still kind of gets to me. Being a cat owner myself, I cried. I cried briefly. I walked past it, and about 45 seconds later, I stopped crying. But I had a momentary issue there. I had a momentary lapse there of sensitivity, where I felt that that feeling. Not to be redundant, but I felt that sensation of like what it's like to lose a loved animal, beloved animal. Like I had experienced before myself, and I related to that, and I said, oh my God, those poor people. And I was 10 years old, okay? So I remember that early on. And also, I am a deep thinker. So when I have an opinion about something, it's not usually just in a one-worded or two-worded opinion. It usually has some really deep context to it. It usually has, I should say, rich material. So like, an opinion, let's say, for example, my opinion on Walmart, okay? Walmart is, I'm talking about sales aside, being in Walmart. I cannot tolerate Walmart because there are many factors of XYZ. The ceiling is too high. The temperature might be too cold. The amount of people in there, the types of people in there, the people that want to run the registers, how long it takes to get through the registers. And I will think deeply and deeply about this. And this is a very basic form of this. You can get more intense when you think about poets, poetries. Poetry is probably done by a lot of INFPs and also highly sensitive people. If you don't know what an INFP personality type is, I'll get to that at the end of this episode. I hope I remember. If not, I'll try to go back and let's put it in somewhere, right? So, as an HSP, I am a deep thinker. So, let's say I am contemplating calling my mother. I won't just simply say, call mother. I will think of all the pros and cons, the negatives and positives, the way of calling her at that time. Maybe I want to call her because I miss her, but it's also midnight, so maybe she won't want to hear from me at midnight, okay? But at the same time, she also is often up at midnight. She has an unorthodox sleep schedule. You never know when this woman's going to be asleep or awake. But maybe even so, it's not appropriate nonetheless, because it's just society says we should not be making phone calls to our mothers after a certain time of night. But with my mom, I think she'd be willing to be okay with that because my mom never really abided by social norms. Yes, that is an example of the deep thinking of a highly sensitive person, because I'm taking all factors into consideration and I'm not making a rash decision. I am not jumping to one answer or not. I am taking everything into consideration and making one base decision, and that is that I will text her instead because I hate phone calls anyway. I find phone calls to be overwhelming. And the overwhelmed thing will be a big part of being an HSP, a highly sensitive person. Now, if you have not heard of this, I'm not too surprised, but it is gaining popularity in the current trend, the bandwagon of mental health and self-improvement and terminology for psychology and personalities. So first off, highly sensitive person is not a diagnosis. It is not a disorder. It is a frame of mind. It is a trait, a personality trait that that we own. It is both physical and mental, though mental can be physical too, because it does come from our brains, which is our largest muscle and most important one. So this is something that often goes along with introversion, though not all HSPs are introverted. I myself believe I am an ambivert. I am an extroverted introvert, or vice versa. I can't quite tell which. I like socializing with the right people, and I can socialize for quite a while too. But now, if I am to be, say, taken out of my comfort zone for too long, and I have more than one, I have other places that are comfort zones I can handle for a few hours, even maybe for the night with a certain friend's house of mine. But if I'm taken out into a restaurant, a loud restaurant, or a hustle and bustling grocery store like the one I have here in town that I seem to always go to because it's closest, I get easily overwhelmed and overstimulated. One, it's the noises, the beeps of the cash registers and the shuffling of the carts, and most importantly, the overlapping talking sound people's voices. Overlapping voices is a trigger for me, you'd almost say, and too much of this results in me needing recharge. For one, after I've been in a grocery store for about 20 minutes and I speed run through that shit, whether I need little or a lot, I speed run. 20 minutes is about average for me before I think I need to get the fuck out of here because my social anxiety is going to just blow up on me. But I get out of there. Hopefully I have a ride, which I do now, being back with Matthew. Our car, as it's called now. It feels great. So being not alone anymore is amazing. Once again, this is me getting sensitive here. But I'm being sensitive. I'm back with Matt. I have a car. But it's like, so say I have a ride. Either way, I'm like, take me home and meet right now. Well, we were going to do X, Y, Z, Ryan. Stop before this, Brian. Well, you know what? I need to go home now, please, if you don't mind. I am so overwhelmed right now. I need to recharge. So I go home. I've described this earlier. I turn off my light. Dim it. Maybe put something on YouTube, like a soft YouTube video by one of my favorite channels, or maybe some quiet music. And I close my eyes and recharge. And when Matthew is here, which he is now, I get held by him, or I hold him. And that physical touch from that one person that is my very special person, the one I am truly in love with and always have been and always will be, that recharges me just as well, if not better. This was on to me saying how I have a strong personality. Now, this is often not looked down upon in males, as many other parts of this personality trait are. A strong personality type, well, Tom Cruise has a strong personality type. Brad Pitt does. A lot of people do. Famous actors that are very masculine and people adore. Maury Povich has a fucking strong personality, all right? I feel like, though I don't always accurately present myself as the way I want to, my personality itself is very powerful. When people speak to me, they tend to not forget me. Whether it's by my image, I should hope that's a part of it. I dress very nicely, in my opinion. Quite unique, but nicely. But also, as far as the things I say, the way I say things and the words I use, because when I speak, I like to speak passionately. I feel that if you speak blandly, monotonously, and in my case, when I'm at work and I'm anxious, stuttering the whole way through, but I speak from the heart, man. I speak passionately. When I feel something, fucking feel it, man. Okay? You got me? That's some serious gourmet shit. So, like, I speak very passionately. I like giving passionate quotes. I like intensity, but not to the unpleasant level. But I like some positive happy medium level of intensity. Whereas, like, so when I want to describe something that happened in my day, there are so many things that I can't think of one at the moment, but something happened in my day. I will say it in a way that I've been told I look and sound like an anime character, or I sound like I should be someone on stage in a play. And I'm like, well, thank you, I say. That's a compliment because these people have charisma. And charisma is often part of being an HSP. You say things like you mean it, and when you hate them, it is known. Now, I don't hate much, but when I am disapproving of something, it is known. I have a strong personality. I'm repeating that. I'm sorry. I will be repeating key factors here the best I can without being too repetitious. Repeating without being repetitious. I was trying to be funny. So, okay, let's take Matthew, for example. Matthew has one of the strongest personalities I know. I do believe he is an HSP. He can be insensitive sometimes, which is the opposite. But if we are presented with a threat or something that we view as an attack on our personal selves, I, for example, can switch to a logician mode. That is the personality type known as INTP. And which case all emotions go out the window, and I think solely based on logic, good luck arguing with me, you will probably, and well, most likely, you'll lose. But most of the time, I'm a feeler and a thinker. So let's get into some of the basic traits here. I've already talked about some of them. Easily overwhelmed and overstimulated, which for me, i.e. grocery stores, loud restaurants, eventually I need to recharge. Well, when I'm at work and I work in a restaurant, though I am and strongly insist on staying back of house, that being dishwasher, I have my own little room, I can do my own little thing, but the most important part is that I can wear earbuds. And I'm not always listening to music, I'm also listening to podcasts a lot. Sometimes I'm listening to YouTube channels that are informative about psychology or God knows what, probably Psych2Go. So it's like, I really enjoy the ability to use earbuds. Also, as for aforementioned, at the grocery store, where I can tune out the voices and noise around me. Restaurants and grocery stores are places where people have no issues speaking very loudly, despite who's around them and how many can hear them. They may laugh aloud at restaurants, especially when we serve so much draft beer. They have total disregard of all human life around them. And it's very selfish, in my opinion. And I can sense that emotion. I can sense that emotion of entitlement in the way they laugh. When somebody says something to me in a certain way, or a certain not a way, maybe it's not the way it should sound. Maybe it's too much of a way of something. It sounds too emotive. Maybe it sounds too exaggerated. We have a high perception of emotion. I can usually tell somebody's emotion, one, by their tone of voice, like I said, but also their body language. So you watch, say, somebody's eye movements as they say something. You watch the way their arms move. Are they crossing their arms? Blah blah blah. Are they looking down as they speak in shame? And I can usually attune to it and figure out what emotion somebody's feeling based on one or both of these things. Tone of voice and body language. And many people can do this, but, you know, intuition is, this is part of it, I believe, but intuition is not something gifted to just everybody. Some people, I didn't think this when I was younger, but as I grew older, I realized that a lot of people don't have intuition. A lot of people don't realize when others are showing these signs and symptoms that means X, Y, or Z. And I get older and I read this and I said, oh my God, so this explains how I was since I was a young child. All right, now, what creates an HSP? Well, it could be genetic, but I also believe that it might be because of more of the environment we were raised in. As a baby, you were probably born with the ability to quickly process information, and you were highly perceptive of, like I said, emotions. And then you took in that of your mother and your father, and you continue to do so throughout your life to get your needs met. It's a theory of mine, but it might have been a newborn-esque, you know, toddler-esque even coping skill to get your needs met by analyzing your parents and knowing what it took for you to have them make that bottle or hold you for a breast milk or give you that bath. Your parents should be on top of these things as always. I mean, Christy, we were, but I'm not trying to judge any parents here. But a baby will figure that shit out, right? So maybe that will devolve into that. But I think also, I have to go. That's just a theory I had. But I really do believe, as I read here, that it's basically passed down as a genetic trait from the mother or father, but probably from the mother to the child. In my children's unique case, my daughter is a overly sensitive person. Not even highly, she's overly sensitive. And yeah, she got it from me, I believe. Because her mother certainly isn't. No disrespect towards my ex-wife, but I know that if Natalia got her very sensitive gene from anybody, it would be dear old dad. So it's passed down generationally. Okay. Now, as we continue going on the traits, we value communication. I value communication. I feel like if somebody is worthy of my communication, then I will give them all that I have to give. I will put every effort I can into a conversation. Given that I'm not being ignored, oftentimes my voice is not heard over the crowds because I tend to speak softly, and I give up. I give up. Though, if I meet somebody really cool that I think this person is special, and I can't always put my finger on it, I can tell so that there's something unique about somebody, something that I might get along with very well, a type of person that we might share certain interests, but mostly about personalities. Where maybe we're both deep thinkers, maybe we're both INFPs, maybe we're both this and that and this and that. And I think, you know, this person, I click with them. Maybe it's just temporary. Maybe I'll stop talking to him in a week or so. But something about this dude makes me want to talk to him. And I have found myself learning a lot by doing this. I just feeling these people out, okay, and making good communication, that, and maybe taking a story from them. As HSPs, I am a great listener. If I'm really excited, I apologize, I might talk over you because I'm just so excited to say those things I have to say that nobody ever heard in so long, but I am a great listener. When somebody has an issue or even an actual just entertaining story to tell, I love to hear that shit, okay? And, ow, getting old, my knees. Ugh. So I'll communicate with this person about their story, I'll give them feedback, and I will be very honest. Maybe sugarcoat it a little bit if I have to, but I will tell them either it's great, it's wonderful, or maybe it's mediocre, I could use these tips. Maybe it's not very good. I have nothing good to say about it. I love you, man, but sorry, I can't speak much for your new play, man. I mean, I'm not a fan of the musical scene, but this play is just whack, bro. So, communication is key. Now, let's take this into my relationship. Matthew and I have never had this level of communication we've ever had. We've never had this before. I've always been big on communication, and it is the biggest breath of fresh air from him to have that level of communication reciprocated. Oh my God, it's amazing. And I appreciate that more. I have a higher level of appreciation for finer things, that being communication being one of them. Music is a big thing. Movies are a big thing. Certain movies I cry to and I appreciate them. I don't like Nicholas Sparks. Sorry, ex-wife. However, though, there are many movies that I have shed a few tears to, like the original Watership Down. I watched that a few years ago, and I definitely teared up a bit there. There are certain things that make me happy more than normal. A certain song by a Japanese pop artist named Lisa. I know I like to bounce around to, and when I hear it, no matter what mood I'm in, especially with my BPD, it'll change. And I am immediately not just happy, I am fucking ecstatic. Okay? So, moving on here. I don't want to make these too awful long anymore. Quick information processing. Right? This means that, unlike many other people that I know, I can process the information very quickly. That being, say I enter a room, I can generally feel the vibe out right away, and I analyze it and process it within seconds. Okay, if I am driving, which I'm not supposed to do anymore, but who knows? So, I'm driving, and I go towards the rotary. Before I even get to the possible yield section of the rotary entrance, I have already assessed if and how many cars are coming across the rotary that I need to brake for, and if there are none, I will not even come to more of a slight halt before I am already back on track and zooming through that rotary. A roundabout, for some of you who don't live in Maine or wherever you live, I think there's another term for it. I heard from someone, but there's many terms to them. They're a traffic circle, for one, okay? So we're talking about the information processing here. I can have my kids come over and they can tell me the gist of the situation and they can say it in a mumble jumble of words. And I get just enough words through that I can process this information very fast and say, okay, well, your solution to your broken Game Boy is X, Y, Z. Sorry to use the algebra so much, but that's an example, okay? Okay, information processing about other people I know. My kitchen manager is amazing at it. She can take information and process it and feed it out very fast. I do this also with recognizing body English, like I said, and emotional cues. I can take the little bit of information I see there and analyze it and spit it through my brain in split seconds. Okay. I tend to understand concepts a bit faster than others, except when it comes to science. I suck at science. At least I did in high school. I still don't want to know. But I understand psychology very fast. I watch a video on how a certain personality disorder will work, and I understand it very rapidly because I can take that information in and process it in my brain and compute it very fast. I can do it better than others. I'm great at being a catcher. Somebody tosses a ball at me or an object at me in the kitchen, and I will raise my hand to right where it needs to be and grab it in a split second. That is one form of information processing. All right, down to the end of it here, okay? Higher empathy. I'm sure that a lot of what I described today would fall under the classification as empathy. Now, that is an overused word these days. You can tell I've been drinking. That's part of the point of my podcast. But yes, that empathy is an overused word these days. With everybody and their mother and father, one claim they're a fucking empath. I know I am. I know because sometimes I can have somebody sleeping on my couch, and I don't even need to leave my bedroom, and I know how they are feeling. And that can be more of a curse. It can be nice when you want to prove a point, or you want to win an argument, or somebody says that they are feeling something they are not. You can probably correct them. But empathy is a whole other thing. I'm sure you'll know, but if not, I'll get to an episode about that. I promise I will. Empathy is simply the ability to feel what others are feeling, literally. And HSPs have a higher level of empathy, also intuitiveness. Intuitiveness is that we understand it. We read it and understand it. Okay, now let's say I needed to read and understand the way somebody is, but I need to figure out what they want to get out of it. So before I make the decision of what to give them, based on this person's complaints, this is not a real example, but let's say, I will think it through thoroughly, okay? I won't just make a rash decision and say, well, the 8-year-old for a Christmas gift gets a new pair of work boots and his dad gets a Nintendo 64. No, I'm going to think very deeply about what they want exactly, based on their personalities and based on, once again, X, Y, Z, all these factors. Part of being an HSP is factors, in my opinion. Everything is so many different parts to it. And with also OCD, I can break them down and place them where they need to go mentally, compartmentalized, I suppose, in its own way. Okay, last but not least here, I want to say, for any HSP out there, I know, especially myself, I don't think there's any dark HSPs, I hope not. We're probably a pretty nice person. I pride myself in being kind. Yes, I pride myself in being pride. I pride myself in being kind. I like to give to those less fortunate. I like to lend a listening ear to those who are sad. I like to be a shoulder to lean on, literally, to someone who needs a hug. I want to call those who I know I haven't spoken to in a while. I'm thoughtful, and I want to be a pretty nice person. I know I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made this podcast, because I'm making this more for people to hear me, but more for people to maybe gain something out of it themselves. Me as a 33-year-old loser, two kids, now living with their mom, and amazing boyfriend back again. Disregard any bad things I said. Maybe there's more to come. Oh no. But I care about humankind, man. I care about people. And, you know, listen, people equal shit. Someone said it best. And I love metal. Most people are shit, dude. Like, most people don't give two flying fucks about the person in front of them or behind them in line. That they don't give a fuck if they're at an intersection and they're waiting to go and somebody maybe missed that they had, it was their turn and it's too late now. Maybe you could just chill a little bit, okay? Don't forget to recharge! Once you had that overstimulating social situation, you've been on the highway for fucking 3 hours, you finally get home, you gotta wait for work? No, work can fucking wait. Give yourself 5 minutes, 10 minutes to recharge. Lean your back, close your eyes. What you need to do, take a shower. Whatever your recharge formation is, do it. It's so important. I cannot describe you. If you feel like you fit into any of these categories, I cannot describe to you how fulfilling a recharge is, how much better I feel, especially if those anxiety-inducing people are gone, if I'm by myself or with one other particular person that I value deeply and I trust and I care about, I can recharge and feel great. It's like the fucking Terminator charging up his batteries, man. All right, bring that Terminator out in you. Seriously, you all are. Cigarette with a freaking torch here. As long as I fucking God, I can't find my lighters. All right, my friends base. I might have mentioned this earlier. I have a small base of friends, and I prefer to keep it that way. I like it that way because I'd rather have less friends and more deep connections. I don't think we are mentally capable, besides like maybe a great U.S. president, to have very close, deep connections with lots of friends. I mean, how many people can bury that in their heads? That takes a great level of mental stamina. And I despise small talk. I believe that everything I say and do on this earth, at least right now, should have some kind of meaning or purpose to it. Small talk is called small talk because it does not have either of those things. It lacks meaning or purpose. Like a discussion about the weather, or whether the boss brought their dog in today, or what did you have for dinner last night, huh? These are all stupid topics of conversation that I do not wish to engage in, and usually only do when I feel totally left out, which leaves my inner sensitive person a little more sensitive. The very last thing I'm going to enunciate on here for play of words, I like routine and patterns. Routine and patterns. I just had my work hours slashed. And that's going to take some adjusting to do. I kind of want a second job, but I kind of don't. I think that somebody here might need me emotionally and physically. I have a few days off here, and I need to take them. God works in mysterious ways, man. And whether you believe in God, or in my case, more like the essence, the spirit, the higher power, whatever it may be, or they, who knows, is that nothing happens without a reason, okay? God works in mysterious ways. You will find the right people for you, especially if you're an HSP, that will identify with you and you can identify with them. I have my HSP friends, and I value them. Patterns, I see them everywhere. I see the bigger picture. I see a situation. I look at it, analyze it. And if I can form patterns here, then I'll solve the goddamn crime. Welcome to CSI, buddy. You got the job. You got the job, buddy. You got the job. So this was a silly new episode from me, Chevy, trying to be as sentimental here as possible, but I still have to get back in the groove of this. I feel like I'm losing it. This is me being personal with you guys here. I feel like I'm losing my podcasting skills here. Please, I'd love to hear back from you. DRSHEVVY, Dr. Chevy, at gmail.com. How did I do? This is like my, hey, I'm back episode. And it lasted a lot longer than I thought it would be too. So that's kind of cool. So this is about me as a highly sensitive person because I'm a male and I wanted to talk about that. And I have one last note to get to at the end of this episode. Thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate you. I love you all. Peace out till the aftermath. For an outro here, I wanted to touch on one other thing, and this is very male specific. This is talking from the heart, no notes. This is me as a highly sensitive person and sex. So I recently went through a long single period, and it was hard. I don't just get with just anybody. I am what's called demisexual, which often goes along with highly sensitives. Demisexual is where I require an emotional connection to be truly aroused by the person. Now, you can have sex without arousal, but is it fulfilling? No. And do I enjoy it? Not nearly as much, probably if any at all. So, going on things like Grindr, that's all I use, but or any other hookup website, or even dating sites, it's very hard for me. I cannot just give it to anybody. I have to feel it. I have to literally feel it. I always know when. I always know when it's right. I always know. So, if you consider yourself highly sensitive, don't push yourself too far in the world of dating and online hookups. You're going to go out of your comfort zone. You're going to find it unpleasant. You're going to regret it, probably. Find that right person or people that are right for you. I will go on Grindr for 3 days. When I was single, I would. 3 days until I found the right person. And that person made it all worth it. So it's tough for men, especially because we're expected to be more masculine, and sex is sex. There is no emotion attached. No. For me, sex is all about passion and emotion. And my boyfriend loves that. But many other people, I don't believe, appreciate that. They think sex should be bang, bang, do your thing. But, you know, I like to make my partner feel loved and wanted. And I need to feel accepted by them first as well. There are so many factors into this. But the primary thing is, what do you feel from them? How do they type? How do they talk? Do they sound like they think deeply, like they feel deeply? Because if so, maybe they're worth it. Dating and sex may be hard as an INFP or a HSP or even a borderline. I'm all three, but it's not impossible. And I found some damn good people on there that I still am friends with to this day. Chevy Kuhn, over and out.